thankful for Rachel Wilson giving the good news today. Rachel grew up in the church here and been a blessing to a lot of people in serving as a missionary, first in South America, then last number of years over in Ethiopia. And I think it was January of 2013, there was about five folks went over to join her for a week or so, put on a vacation Bible school. And that was a life changer for them, and appreciated Rachel's hospitality. And she'll be serving the folks in Ethiopia who are in education, helping families and children grow in their knowledge of God's creation, and then being able to pass on some good news to the Ethiopian people. So I'm impressed by the team that she has, God has put her as a part of, and she'll explain a lot of that. So we thank the Lord for Rachel. You know, she could sing in a fantastic way, outstanding teacher, great preacher, driver. She has driven on the Ethiopian roads where there's no anything, and she is better than what's his name, Jimmy Johnson. Who knows? But we thank the Lord for Rachel and her life. God bless.
Good morning. I don't think Jimmy Johnson has to dodge goats and cows and sheep like I do in Ethiopia. But that was a NASCAR reference, right? Not Jimmy Johnson. Yeah. Sometimes I forget, you know, you don't know all the American culture references when you're living overseas. Well, it's good to be here, and it's this is actually the last church that I have on my speaking engagement. If any of you have read my newsletters, you've followed my travels, I have been up and down the East Coast. I think I've driven about 17,000 miles this home assignment just in my travels. So God has been good. He's kept me safe. And it's great to be able to share with you and tell you about the work that God is doing in Ethiopia and how He would like to use me there as a missionary. I'm going to start with a... There we go. All right. I'm going to start with a little... It's not really a poem. It's kind of a prose, I guess, a prose that I found in the Daily Bread one day right before I was speaking at a church, and I was like, this is the life of a missionary. But actually, it should be the life of all of us. So don't just think about it as, okay, that's great, Rachel's in Ethiopia serving, but think about how this applies to you in your life. I am a stranger here within a foreign land. My home is far away upon a golden strand. Ambassador to be realms beyond the sea. I'm here on business for my king. And that's what it's all about. We're here on business for our king. It's not about what I do or you do. It's about what God does through us. And that we are his ambassadors. And we're here to do what he's called us to do. And if you want to think about it, we are his walking billboards. And we're here to show the people around us that there can be a relationship with Jesus Christ, and there's reconciliation with Jesus Christ. And we have the opportunity to do that next weekend, as you're going to have different people come here in the church, and we're going to be able to bless them with gifts. But I want to encourage you, and not just because I'm the one heading this up tomorrow, but also just a way for you to give back to your church. Tomorrow morning, or tomorrow during the day, we're going to be decorating the church and setting up the nativity scene and Christmas trees and wreaths, making it feel a lot more like Christmas. We've sung in it. It is Christmas season. But just to make it look a little bit more like Christmas season. So if you are available tomorrow, I invite you to come on out, and I'm going to need your help because I'm not that tall. Okay, I have heels on today, but I won't be able to reach the star on top. So I'm going to need tall people. I'm going to need short people. I just need willing people to come and serve your church tomorrow and help decorate the church for the community as we worship and serve them. So, many of you know that I've been in Ethiopia, and some of you, I know that there's a lot of new faces out in this congregation, which is wonderful to see. So some of you may not know all my backstory, but that's okay. If you'd like to know more of that, just come and talk with me later on. But for the past term, I've been serving in Ethiopia, and it's been a privilege to be there and be able to serve families that are there, working in a school setting, so teaching in an international school, just so you kind of get an idea where Ethiopia is, because I know for me, you know, God had me in South America for 8 years and I learned South American geography. And then he moved me to Africa, so now I'm trying to figure out African geography, which Africa is a huge continent. Just to put all your minds at ease, I'm far away from Ebola, okay? Ebola is on the other side of the continent, so I'm in the northeastern part, northeast Africa, okay? So I have neighbors like Sudan and Somalia, which you hear a lot about in the news. Kenya's to my south. And Uganda, where Josh and Abby Ratton are serving. Above or to the north of us is Eritrea. Eritrea once used to be part of Ethiopia. And about 20 years ago or so, there was a civil war, and they chose to become their own country. There's a little small country here. Let's see if I can point to it right there. That's called Djibouti. It's just a fun name to say, I think. You can laugh. God has a sense of humor. But I wonder if, can you guys tell me, what is the name of this body of water? What's the name of this body of water? Who crossed the Red Sea? Come on, I know some of you went to Sunday school growing up. Moses. And who did he bring with him? The Israelites, right? Because they were leaving Egypt, which Egypt would be way north of me, and they were crossing to go over to the Promised Land. So Moses crossed the Red Sea, which is right near me, and a little trivia fact is Moses' wife was Ethiopian. Bet you didn't know that. I didn't know that until somebody told me that either. But if you go back in the story where Moses is introducing his wife to his family, and it's quite an interesting story if you go back and read it, you will actually find out that she was a Cushite, and Cush is the biblical name for Ethiopia. So anytime you hear Cush in the Bible or Cushites, those are the Ethiopians, more in the northern part of Ethiopia. And I saw today in Sunday school that Ham had like the part of the world, that part, I don't know, I wasn't in Sunday school, I just kind of saw from a distance. And then you also notice that the Middle East is really close to me as well. And so a lot of you might be like, oh my goodness, you're like living in a crazy spot in the world. But as long as I stay away from the borders, I'm safe, okay? And honestly, to be in the middle of God's will is the safest place for you to ever be. And I really feel that I am. So when you pray for my safety, know that God is taking care of me and that I'm using common sense. And God will always protect you where he leads you. So this was the school I was teaching at. Bingham Academy, and it's an international school. It has about 300 students or so, kindergarten through 12th grade. And my job was, or my ministry, was a learning support teacher and also the director of the learning support program. Learning support is the international term for special education. So I was using my skill set to help students that were having trouble learning or just kind of filling in the gaps as they've been transitioning from one culture to another, or one curriculum to another. Because in an international school setting, students are always coming and going. It's like constantly saying hello and goodbye. And that's one of the challenges of working with what we call TCKs, third culture kids, or you might know them as MKs, missionary kids. But TCKs are constantly having to say goodbye to people. And so they're very hesitant to sometimes embrace people and become friends with people. And so you can pray for the TTKs around the world. And TTKs are not just missionary kids. They're army kids. They're diplomat kids. There are people that were born in one country but raised in another country. So there might even be some TTKs in this room. I don't know, depending on your background. I consider myself a TCA, third culture adult, because in my 20s I grew up in South America. And it is an adjustment. So as you're thinking about international students and you're praying how to pray for them, pray for the constant transition in their life. Pray for that they will have a good friend, but pray that friend will become Jesus. Because Jesus is that constant. He's the only thing that stays the same in their life. And so it's a privilege to be able to share that with students and be able to help them along the learning process. And when I'm not doing that, those of you who are teachers know that there's not much time left after that. But I enjoy mentoring students to become worship leaders. And worship is a lifestyle. It's not just the songs that you sing. It's everything that you do. And, you know, that's why it says that we present ourselves as a living sacrifice, a living worship to God. So everything we do, and I challenge the students to think about that. So you're up front singing and glorifying God, but how are you acting in the classroom? How are you acting in your homes? How are you acting as you're playing football, what we would call soccer? How are you acting while you're waiting in line for your lunch? How are you acting while you're driving down the road, adults? Which driving in Ethiopia is quite stressful. You know, how are we acting in everyday situations? Because that's what worship is. So hoping kids to realize God has given us gifts and talents, and we should use this to honor and glorify Him, but it's more than just using it in front of people. It's what are we doing when no one's looking? Which that challenges me. Because I know, as one of the worship leaders at the international church that I attend, I have my students watching me practice what I preach. And that's a hard thing to do. Any of you who are in leadership know that, you know, people are watching you. And but there is grace and there is love and forgiveness. And, you know, that's a good chance to teach humility and to learn humility, too. I lead worship about once a month or so at the international church that I attend. It is like a little piece of heaven. I mean, there are people from all over the world. I think there's about 70 nationalities represented. And so I just, when I'm leading, I'm like, wow, this is what heaven's going to be like. So it's a joy and privilege to be able to give back to my community and give back to the church that I attend regularly in Ethiopia. So what do I do when I'm not teaching, when I'm not leading worship, when I'm not encouraging students? I'm trying to learn this. This is the Ethiopian alphabet. All right, here's a question for y'all. How many letters are in the English alphabet? 26, very good. You can all go to first grade now. Actually, they probably teach that a lot earlier. You can all graduate from preschool. The Ethiopian alphabet has about 230 characters. So it's not, they're not even written like our ABC. They're different. And so this is going to be a challenge for me. I've gone to some language school my first term, but I have not been able to focus just on language. So pray for me as I go back, and I'll have some time to intensely study the language. It's going to be a process that I'll just continue throughout my time there. But I know the benefit of learning a language when living in the culture and the doors that it opens up. Because there's nothing like being able to hear the Word of God in your own language and be able to just minister to the person's heart language. And so I feel like in order to thrive in Ethiopian culture, not just survive, I need to know the language. And so pray that God will help me, as this is now my third language I'm learning. And it's going to be a lot harder than Spanish was. Very much so. And how many people like spicy food? All right. And you would appreciate Ethiopian food because it can be quite spicy. The redder it is, the hotter it is, the spicier it is. We enjoy delicacies like, let's see. We eat cow, we eat chicken, we eat sheep, we eat lamb, I guess sheep and lamb or something, goat. I haven't tried camel yet, but I think you eat camel too. And they eat a lot of lentils. So it's pretty healthy for you, except for all the oil they cook it in. And you eat it with your hand, which is a little bit different. And it's a communal thing. So everyone is sitting around that plate, and everyone is eating off of that same plate with their right hand, not your left hand. So if you're left-handed, you have to eat with your right hand. Okay? Because this is ceremonially unclean. If you want to know about that later on, come talk to me at the display table. I can explain that to you. But that's what the food is like. And this next, just to kind of see how awake you guys are, I have this next slide. So I was not the one that actually killed that chicken. But I did eat that chicken the next day. And that's very common around a holiday. People will go out, they'll buy their chicken or their cows or their lambs, and they'll slaughter them, and then they'll cook them and eat them. Yeah, they don't have a giant eagle there, you know. We do have supermarkets, but meat's not as good. So one of the things that I've been enjoying doing more so as I've been on the mission field and learned more about the needs of families on the mission field is going out and helping families during my breaks. But the only thing about that means that I don't get a break. And if anyone here is a teacher and you realize, like, you really cherish those breaks because it's time to catch up on work, it's time to catch up on sleep, it's time to prepare for the next unit. But I've enjoyed going out and helping families that are homeschooling in more remote areas, like 4 to 6 to 12 hours from the capital city. And as I began to do this, it began to just open my eyes to understand that education happens more than just in a classroom. I mean, I'm a product of Norwin High School and Geneva College. And so I've gone to public school my whole life, or private college. And I was never homeschooled, but sometimes in a missionary setting, this is the best situation for a missionary family because they're so far removed from the capital city that they can't commute 4 hours to come to school every day. So parents have the choice of either sending their kids to boarding school or homeschooling their kids. And so a lot of parents nowadays are saying, we want our family to stay together because God has called our family to the ministry, and so we're going to homeschool. So I began to just really understand that this is a need on the mission field, that God can use my skills as a teacher to help encourage, support families that are trying to homeschool on the field. And so when I left in December, I was aware of the fact that I was leaving Bingham Academy, and I was aware of the fact that I would be moving into a new ministry. And this new ministry really excites me because I feel like God has really opened the doors to do this. As I said, I've been going out and spending time with families and learning what's going on. What is their ministries like? What is it like to live outside of the capital city, which is a lot harder? I mean, I think it's hard in the capital city, but it's a lot harder outside. And just to know that these families need that support just as much as the families in the capital city. But those in the capital city get the support from the school. So could I be an extension of that? And I began to pray about it, and I went and I talked to administration at SIM and say, I really feel like God's called me out of the classroom, and I really want to help with families in education. And as I was sharing that, admin said back to me, you know, Rachel, we have been praying for somebody that would be willing to travel around and to help homeschool families. And so I was unaware of conversations that were taking place in administration. I was listening to what God was saying to me. God was moving in my heart. God was moving in their hearts. And at just the right time, He brings us together. And that's how God's timing is, if we are listening and if we're obedient. So it's exciting to think that this will now be my home when I'm not traveling. I'll be based in the headquarters. But this is a transient place. So this is where families come when they first get to the field, or when they come from what we say down country, which literally means anywhere not in the capital city. And this is where they stay. So this is where I will have an apartment, and I will be able to help families when they're in the capital city. But then I will actually be traveling around and visiting, staying with families for about a week or so and helping them educationally. These two families were pivotal in helping me to understand the real needs for missionaries on the field. The family to your left is a family that I met in Paraguay, actually. They were the first family that I left the capital city of Asunción, took an 8-hour bus, well, it was supposed to be 8 hours, 8-hour bus ride to go help them with homeschooling. And I talked to the mom, and I met the mom beforehand, and she had just felt like she was not doing okay. Like, she's like, am I doing this homeschool thing all right? And she just kind of like laughed. Just, she wanted somebody to walk alongside of her and say, you know, it's okay. You're doing right. Like, your kids are on the right track. And so after spending a week with this family, I saw this mom go from being discouraged to being encouraged. I saw the kids see that like learning is very engaging and that their parents have been doing a great job, but it was also kind of nice to have somebody different come in and do it. And I know the mom appreciated that too. I got to be like the substitute teacher for about a week. And it was great to be able to just talk to her and encourage her, bless her, get to know the kids, get to know their ministry, and see how educationally I can help support that family. Now, the other family that's pictured there on the right, they were ministering in Ethiopia. And because of their children's educational needs, they actually had to leave Ethiopia and had to go to another mission. Or not another mission, they were still with SAM, but they had to go to another location. And when this happened, my heart became really burdened, and I began to understand, like, I'm a teacher. God's called me to work with missionary families. Why do families have to leave the field for educational reasons? And then that began to set on me more and more and be like, well, but there's no one out there to help support the families that are not in the capital city. They're just kind of out there. And if they need support, they have to come in. Why couldn't somebody go out to them? And that's how I really knew that God was calling me to do this, because I'm not much of a traveler. I actually don't like to travel. I think that's kind of funny. But God has called me to a ministry where I will be going. I will be traveling. I'll be ministering to, supporting, encouraging. I'll take my guitar along when I can and lead them in time of worship. Because for some of these families, they live far, far away. Like, here's a map. Some of the southernest parts, it might take a couple of days to get to Addis. Up north, I can take a plane to get to those locations. Some of them, I'll just hop on my donkey and go down the street. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I just like to say that for, you know, see if somebody's really awake. But, you know, some of these families, they don't have an opportunity to interact a lot with Americans or with, you know, other missionaries because they may be the only people in that location. And so just to be another friendly face, another person that they can talk to, you know, to sit down with the moms and have a cup of tea and say, so how is it really going? Like, you know, I can help you educationally, but how is it going, sister in Christ? You know, we all need that. Who doesn't need encouragement? Anybody here? You don't want to be encouraged? I mean, I think that's why you're in church today, right? You came to be encouraged. And God calls us to build each other up and to edify each other. And so I would love to encourage these families and be that support to them, not only helping them educationally, but also helping them as they're just in this path of ministering overseas. Because being a missionary can sometimes be very lonely. And I say that as a single person, but I know as a family it can even be very lonely. And so I'm looking forward to going in and being an aunt to these kids and being a sister and to have older brothers and sisters look after me and take care of me. And we just kind of, we're there for each other. Because God has called us to work together. Not just, you go do your thing and you do your thing. It's, we all have to work together. We all have to support each other. And these are the ministries that I will be supporting. And in a sense, helping those families be able to stay there, because as they're juggling all their different balls up in the air that they're trying to do in ministry, I can say, here, let me take this education ball for you. Let me help you with this one. Then you can focus on your family. You can focus on your ministry. And you can thrive. You know. And so, as I'm supporting these ministries, I feel like I'm going to be doing first-hand missions work, in a sense. Like, I won't be the doctor, but I'll be making sure that doctor can stay in that remote village where it's just probably the only doctor in that area. And I can help as people are trying to train Ethiopian pastors and help them to learn to grow to be able to pastor the churches in Ethiopia, because we want to just hand them over to the Ethiopians, that those ministries can still stay going and that they don't have to relocate and start all over again, which God will help you if that's the case, but we'd like that to not have to happen. So that, to me, is super exciting to think I actually kind of get to be more of the hands and feet directly to help support missions. I'm really amazed to see where God has led me and where He is leading me. And I'm going to come down to this table because the teacher in me wants you to be able to visualize what I'm saying. The passage that we read today talked about planting a seed, and I'm not a planter, okay? I have flowers in my apartment, but when they die, and then I go buy new ones, okay? I do not plant gardens, but this much I do know about gardening is that you do need a few things, right? And I think I know that just from teaching science all those years to elementary kids. And what are some of the things that you need?
Dirt,
okay, you need dirt.
Water,
seeds, food, and sunshine. Anything else? A farmer. Okay, yeah, you need somebody willing to do it, yeah. And some fertilizer is usually helpful, right? You know, to kind of speed up the process. So work with me here. It says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So this soil here represents ministry. And for me, it literally means the soil of Ethiopia. I didn't buy this in Ethiopia because I can't do that. It's actually from Walmart. And, you know, you can pray for missionaries too because I think about all the things that I'm not going to have in Ethiopia. We don't have Walmart. Okay? It's very rare that I can go to one store and get everything I need 24 hours a day. I can't even do that in Ethiopia. But, so this represents the soil. And for me, my ministry is in Ethiopia. The people group God has called me to is missionary families. Okay? And that's very important when you're asking God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to serve? Ask God to send you a people group. You have a lot of missionaries that come here and they talk about God has called me to the peoples of la da da. But there's a people group. I'm not called to go and teach Ethiopian children in an Ethiopian school. That's not what God's called me to do. God's called me to missionary families and to support them. So this is my soil. And Ethiopia, thankfully, SIM has been there for a long time. So there's been missionaries there that have worked the soil for a long time. There's actually a lady who was a missionary in Ethiopia for 42 years. She just retired. Guess who gets to live in her apartment when she goes back to? That is so cool. And when I went to SIM this past time, guess who was arriving? And she was arriving at the same time. That was so cool. I was like, I've seen you in Ethiopia. 42 years. And this woman had translated the Bible into several different languages. And she's still going to keep going, even in her retirement. So you're never too young to be used of God. You're never too old to be used of God. So the soil has been tilled and tilled. And when we're in ministry, we're listening to the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is what's guiding us and prompting us and giving us that boldness to do what God's called us to do because in our own strength, we can't do it, right? I'm nothing. But with God, God gives me the strength to do what I need to do. God will nudge us and say, hey, go talk to that person. Go plant that seed of the gospel into their life. And think about that. Who planted the seeds in your life? And as I say this, and I'm in my home sending church, like, there are many people in this room that did that for me. And so we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to be cautious. And when God's nudging us, you need to just go and do it. Don't just stand there, well, the next person will do it, or Pastor Bob can do it, or Vicky can do it, or, you know, anyone. No, you can do it. The Holy Spirit will give you that power. So we plant the seed, and we cover it up. Now, that's great, right? We could just walk away, right? Because virtually, we don't need to do anything else, right? Right? No? So there's something else I need to do. So what else might I need to do? Water it. Right now I'm really thirsty. Can I go get some water? Yeah. Wuha to Afelagalo. I need water. I didn't plan that, but I really am thirsty. Water just is so refreshing, isn't it? I think about that every morning when I take a shower. I'm like, thank you, God, for running water. Because there's days that there's no water in Ethiopia. Water refreshes. Water replenishes us. And we can't live without water, right? You can't. You can live without food, but you can't live without water. So water refreshes, helps things to grow, gives it life, makes you feel alive again. So missionaries in the past have planted the seeds. My current missionary colleagues are planting those seeds. I'm coming along. I'm watering. I'm watering them. I'm refreshing them. I'm saying, keep going. You can do this. Your kids are okay. Like, and if they're not, like, we'll figure out a plan together. We'll work on this education thing. You don't need to be overwhelmed by it. Let me water you. Let me refresh you. Let me bring you some fun snack from Addis when I come to visit you. Which care packages are great, guys. Seriously. Hint, hint. All right. Worry-free. We're going to squirt on some worry-free. I like to let this represent prayers. SIM's mission is by prayer. I think that's quite appropriate. I think everyone's mission should be by prayer. You can't do anything without prayer. How many times do you try to do something by yourself? And then halfway through, you're like, oh, wait a second, God. Can you help me out? And we should have, like, stepped back and started with that in the beginning. But we're going to put these on. Because this says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends your hearts, will guard your... didn't get all those words in there. But basically, we pray, God gives us peace. But God says, don't be anxious. And trust me, I have a lot of things to be anxious about living overseas. I'm far away from a lot of things. I'm kind of in a crazy place in the world. But if you're in the middle, in the center of God's will, you're the safest place you will ever be. You are. Safest place. All right. So what else do we need? Fertilizer. Or plant food. This, unfortunately, is the thing that most people don't like to talk about. This is money. Yeah, every ministry needs money. And guys, you know, I'm ready to water. And I know I'm covered in prayers, but this is actually the kind of thing that, this is the last thing that I need to get back to Ethiopia. I'm at 82%. Which means I need another $550 a month. But within 1 week, I went from 77% to 82%. So I'm trusting that before Christmas, I will be at 100%. Because I know God will provide, and God has provided. And this is something that, it's not just your money that you give, but it's your time, your talents, your resources. So let's think about, how could we give our time back to our church? Tomorrow, you decorate. Next Sunday, you welcome the people that are coming to our church and say, hey, how are you doing? Merry Christmas. God loves you. Don't let them sit by themselves. I've gone to a lot of churches, and I sit by myself. So if someone new comes, go sit by them. Help them out. Show them where the bathrooms are. Bathrooms are very important, people. Okay? So be a friend to people, and give of God of your time, your talents, and your resources. Because all these things together work to get the purpose of growing. I can't just have water and be like, why isn't my plant growing? I don't understand. We need all these things. But the most important thing that we need is the sun. If we don't have Christ as the center of all of this, it's all in vain. And I mean, I could have spent the past 6 months going around traveling like a crazy woman. And if I wouldn't have first talked with God and said, God, is this really what you want for me? Then it would all be in vain. But I know God has confirmed to me, this is what I want for you, Rachel. So the sun is going to shine brightly. And with that, a flower will grow. But we are co-workers. We're working together. We can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. And I know this church supports me and prays for me and loves me. And I feel very, very supported by this church. And I pray that, you know, God will just continue to, I guess when I was up there, I was praying, God, help people to just hear the calling you have in their life. How is it you want to use them? Specifically for this, generally for your life. Don't miss the calling you have in your life, because each one of us are part of making a beautiful garden. This is only one flower. But imagine if each one of us were doing this, we'd have like flowers everywhere. And that's what it's all about. Let's grow a beautiful garden for the kingdom of God. And how can you be praying for me? I'll be doing a lot of traveling. And it's not going to be nice roads like I've traveled here in the States. And I'll be flying, I'll be driving. I will probably have to get an Ethiopian to drive me because they don't like single women to drive themselves. Pray that I can get some really good connections with these homeschool families. I was never homeschooled. I'm not a mom, but I love missionary families. And I love education, and I want to see families thrive and where they are at. I pray they don't have wisdom in guiding them to know when to say what I need to say and when to step back and just listen, which is hard sometimes. So I just need discernment to know how and when and to guide them and direct them. You could be praying and you could be giving. Be part of the ministry. And if you're interested in doing that, please come back and visit my table before you leave. Or if you just want to give my prayer letters and you're not, please make sure you sign up and I'll add you to my list. And now you know a little bit more about what's going on in Ethiopia. So you have the responsibility now to be spreading that good news and to say, hey, look, there's ministry going on overseas, but there's also ministry going on here in this community. So I pray that as you continue to minister to the community in this area, that God will continue to use you in great ways, just as I know you're praying for me as I go back to Ethiopia. The target is to leave the week of January 18th. And I'm praying that for Christmas I'll be able to get my plane ticket. But I can't get it until I have all my support. So I'm just trusting God that He's bigger than Santa Claus. He's better than Santa Claus. So that's just some of my urgent needs. I have some costs that I still need to get covered. And there might be a big cost with my work permit. So be praying for that as well. And if God lays it on your heart. And just, I want to challenge you. $10 a month makes a huge difference. I can make $10 last a lot longer in Ethiopia than you can here. But how often do we just spend $10 flippantly? Like, you know? But that makes a big difference. So I just want to thank you for your continued prayers and your support. It's been a blessing to be here. And as we close up the service, I picked Go Tell on Mountain because it's Advent season. But in Addis, they have beautiful mountains. On both sides, as I'm driving down the main road, mountains and mountains. I mean, I thought the Appalachian Mountains were huge until I get 8,000 feet above sea level. I mean, but we are to go tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ is born. Why keep this precious gift to ourselves? We need to scream it from the mountaintops and not be afraid to let people know this is what Christmas is about. But most importantly, this is what my life is about. Not just a holiday, it's a life. So as we sing, Go Tell on the Mountain, let's just proclaim that to the world around us.